May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 497. The God of glory sends his summons forth, calls the south nations and awakes the north. From east to west his sovereign orders spread, through distant worlds and regions of the dead the trumpet sounds. Hell trembles, heaven rejoices. Lift up your heads, ye saints, with cheerful voices. Hymn 497.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help Benji to pray.
Oh Lord, do come now and indite true prayer in our hearts. And Lord, may that prayer be as we have read of those two cases just now. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Lord, that is our great cry. Oh, may it be sincere from our hearts. For, O Lord, thou knowest what poor, wretched, undone sinners we are. O Lord, our unbelief, our coldness, our hardness, our far-offness from thee. But, oh, we do pray that thou wilt draw us unto thee, for thou art our only hope. Oh, do come and quicken our souls into life and bring us to thee. Put those right desires in our heart, that true confession of our sins, for, O Lord, thou art able to forgive us our sins. Oh, may we then possess that true fear in our hearts and seek thee, to know thee as our Saviour, our Redeemer, to know the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, to have those right thoughts of thee as we read this morning. Oh, Lord, what think ye of Christ is the test. Oh, Lord, do we think rightly of thee? Do we know thee, what thou canst do, and all thy work? O Lord, thy merits, for we have none of our own. Do then bring us to thee, and look to thee for our salvation. Lord, remember us then in mercy, and work in each heart gathered here this night. For, O Lord, as thou knowest, we each possess much evil in our hearts, and need thee to come, to wash us, to make us clean, to prepare us for a never-ending eternity. Lord, we have sung of that last great day, oh, to be prepared, to truly be found in thee, to know thee as our Mediator, that we each might know that when we approach unto God, thou instead of me is seen. O Lord, that's our hope, that thou hast borne away our sins and made us ready. O may we each then be enabled to truly lay these things to heart and to come unto thee. O Lord, that thou wilt work in us and make us right. O to have that true and living faith in our hearts, to trust in thee for all our needs, especially those needs then of our never dying souls and that eternity which looms ahead. O Lord, we need thee also to help us while here below, and we pray for thy mercy on us in the things of time. Thou hast provided for us thus far, helped us hitherto. We would not be unmindful of all thy mercies to us here below. But, Lord, we still need thee to keep us in that right way, to leave us not, to provide for us. O Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one gathered here in thy house this night. Thou knowest the cries, the petitions put up unto thee. We pray that thou wilt come, send those answers of peace. O Lord, that thou wilt make thyself suitable to each case. For thou alone canst do it. Thine alone is the power. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt use thy word this night, either what we've read, what we've sung, or what was preached in times past. O Lord, bring it to life. Make it powerful in our hearts. Give us each something to take home, as it were, to remember this service by, something to truly do us good, something to bring forth that honour and glory unto thy name. O Lord, do then work this night and be our helper still. Thou knowest we are without one of thy servants, but, O Lord, we do pray that we might not be without thee, that thou wilt come and use these words we have before us. Lord, do help us then to look to thee in all things. Go before us each. Lord, we need thee to make a way, to provide for us. And Lord, we do pray then for those in particular needs, those that need thy help. Lord, we do remember Thomas in hospital. O Lord, that thou wilt be merciful if it can be thy will. Grant thy healing mercies, and we pray that thou wilt sanctify these things to his eternal good, and there might be that nevertheless afterwards. For, O Lord, thou art a kind and gracious God. We look to thee then to remember him where he is. And Lord, we pray for each one that have those secret cases, those hard things, those difficult things, those things too hard for us. But Lord, thou hast said, nothing is too hard for me. Oh Lord, we need thee to then enable us to bring them unto thee and to have that living faith in our hearts to truly believe that thou canst do it all. Remember us each then for good. O Lord, we pray for thy help here in thy house, and that thou wilt remember thy servants as they come week by week. Help and strengthen each one. Give them that message to bring, and give them that strength to deliver it. But Lord, we need thee to give us that heart to receive these things, a heart made tender by thy power. O Lord, do then bring forth that fruit of thy Holy Spirit and make thy word effective in each heart. And Lord, if it can be thy will, we pray that thou will enable some to come and tell what a salvation they have found, what a Jesus, O Lord, a mighty one, a Saviour. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give us those right exercises concerning a pastor for this place. O Lord, we do pray that thy will might be done, that we each might know thy will and thy way. And Lord, that thou wilt fulfil thy promise, that thou wilt give pastors after thine own heart. Our eyes are then up unto thee to provide for us. O Lord, we do desire to remember our country before thee. Thou knowest the great need. The evil and the wickedness which runs down our streets grows worse day by day. Have mercy upon us, for Lord, nothing short of thy mercy will do us any good. We do pray then that thou wilt subdue the power of Satan, and that thou wilt turn men's hearts unto thee. And Lord, as we come once more to another election, guide and direct us each in how we should vote. And Lord, we pray, if it can be thy will, that thou wilt put men with thy fear in these high places, men to rule over us, even in this time. O Lord, do have mercy upon us. Pity us once more. Turn us around and bring us to truly know thee. Go before us each now and be our helper still. We pray now that thou wilt help Dave in reading this sermon, and Lord, that thou wilt do us good by it, make it powerful in our hearts. O Lord, help us each now to call upon thy name, to seek thee in all our great need. Do then forgive us our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1146. Help, Lord, for men of virtue fail. Religion loses ground. The sons of violence prevail, and treacheries abound. Hymn 1146.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. John Booth. You'll find the words of the text in the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and part of the 8th verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke chapter 18, verse 8. We must try to bear in mind that this is the concluding part of that parable, which occupies the first 6 verses of this chapter. We do not desire to separate it from that parable. And as we look at it in its connection thus, we shall see that the Lord Jesus Christ asks, shall he find faith, such as is in this woman, when he comes? And therefore he points us particularly to the faith of the woman. Now that was faith that continually and persistently sought, though evidently denied, and certainly answers were delayed. And yet, although answers were delayed, and she apparently was denied, and certainly met with many a rebuff, she still continued to cry. Now the Lord says, so ought all men to pray. She had a case. It is a real case that produces real prayer. She, having a real case, wanted redress. And wanting redress, she came continually. Now, what relation and what resemblance do we bear to her? Is there any resemblance between my faith and hers? Is there any resemblance between my cry and hers? Is there any resemblance between my perseverance and hers? Do I sometimes get rebuked? Do I sometimes meet with rebuff? Do I often fear answers are delayed? And in the midst of all this, do I still continue to cry? Now Christ says that is faith. And I have no doubt that it is faith. And not only faith, but faith in exercise. And not only faith in exercise, but faith under trial, faith tested. The very delays are tests of faith. You notice this woman would not be said nay. Where could she go if the judge did not hear her? To whom could she turn if the chief magistrate denied her audience? And therefore, she is determined to seek. She takes no denial. You sometimes think that your faith is very small. And yet, how is it that you are here tonight? You sometimes say that your faith seems to have gone. And yet, how is it that you still continue to seek? That is an evident proof that your faith is real, inasmuch as it takes no denial, inasmuch as it passes through difficulties, inasmuch as it overcomes obstacles, inasmuch as though it meets with rebuff, it still cries. And so you find both the blind man that sat by the wayside begging, and this poor widow crying. Both had obstacles in their way. Both persevered. Both continued to pray. And the Lord says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Then that is a feature of a child of God. Day and night they cry. There may be periods when they cry not, but when faith is in exercise and the heart is touched by the Spirit of God and divine things are set before us, there is an anxiety within. That anxiety is kept alive. It is a sort of continual prayer. And so they pray day and night. You pray in the daytime, that is, in prosperity, that is, when the Lord's face is visible. You cannot help sometimes returning thanks to the Lord for his mercy in giving you the day. You sometimes pray even when it is night. And those prayers may be the most real, because in the night you want special help. All around you is dark, and therefore you cry. It may be a season of difficulty and of trial and of temptation, and therefore, though it be night, you cry. Now that is a token of possessing life within. So the Lord Jesus Christ in the parable evidently pointed to the faith of this woman. He then asked this question. Nevertheless, though the Lord will come, though the Lord will avenge his own elect, though he may bear long with them, shall he find faith in the earth? He will avenge his own, for he will come for their deliverance. They may be in a very oppressed state, but the Son of Man shall come for their deliverance. They may be bowed down by many trials, but the Son of Man shall come for their deliverance. But when he comes, having delayed his visit so long, the church seems in a state of widowhood, and it may be in a state of persecution. And therefore, by reason of long waiting, seems almost to have died out. When the Son of Man cometh, it seems as though it will have been long looked for. That is to say, collectively, and shall I say personally also. Do you still look for the appearing of Christ? Do you not now remember the first time in conviction when the Lord made you sensible of your state? Did you not look long for deliverance? And did you not become weary with waiting? Did not your faith seem to give out, and your hope decline, and your tongue fail for thirst? You had sought water, and there was none. And yet the Lord came when your faith, I say, seemed as though it had entirely died, so that when he did come, he did not find much faith. But there was faith. And so it may be with us as individuals, and with regard to our experience in looking and in waiting for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from our state of bondage. I rather think that he meant by this parable in addition to touching the necessity of continued and persistent prayer, that the church should be in a state of widowhood. I sometimes think that he sets forth in this parable that the church should be in a state of oppression, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the husband of the church, should be absent from her. And while he was thus absent from her, the church should be brought through many days, weeks, months or years of trials and difficulties. And all the while they are crying day and night for the Lord to come and deliver them. And there does not appear to be any sign of his coming. So that Peter declares, even of the wicked, in the last days scoffers shall come. They shall walk after their own lust. You will hear their scoffing. You see their walking. You listen to what they say sometimes. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were since the creation. You told us that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, that there would be a day of judgment, that there would be an end to all these things, and yet all things continue as they were. Men marry, women are given in marriage, men eat and drink, and they repeat what they did in the days of Noah. But notwithstanding all this is done, we have a grain of faith, at any rate, that the Son of Man shall come. One thought was very sweet to me today with regard to this text, and that was, when he does come, he will come as the Son of Man. I remember times past when I used to look forward to the day of judgment, and I imagined in my poor way that God would come with anger and terror stamped upon his face, that he would come in such a way as to fill us with fear. But you know, when the Lord gives sight, blesses with light, imparts understanding, and shows us our Redeemer as the Son of Man, he takes away that fear. So when he spake these words, I have thought they might be a word of encouragement to those who are feeble saints that are praying, so that when they look forward to the second coming, they shall look for the Son of Man, your brother, your elder brother, your high priest, your never-changing friend. He says, the Son of Man. And that was, I say, an encouraging thought to me. The Lord shows us then that he shall come, and that the church during that time of waiting may have become wearied, may have become depressed, may so have looked for Christ as almost to have despaired of his coming, so that the question still remains to be answered, when he does come, shall he find faith? Shall he find a woman anywhere that is determined to seek as this woman did? Shall he find a faith equal to the faith of this widow? That is how I look upon it. And therefore he exercises the faith that he has given. That is exhibited in the conduct of this woman. Why, when you look back sometimes and compare the past with the present, if you were to answer this question in the light of that, you would almost be ready to say, The Lord will not find a faith, such great faith, as this woman evidently had. For you remember the time when you heard men utter weighty prayers, and as you compare the prayers of those with the poor feeble things of today, you say, there are no prayers so weighty, so solemn, so unctuous, so to the point as there were years ago. Why, some of us remember the prayers of godly men who have gone to glory, whose prayers were as weighty as most men's sermons. Where are they today? Your fathers, where are they? The prophet asks. And so, if things are going to grow worse and worse and worse, and prayer enfeebled, I say, if we were to answer the question in the light of that, we should say, scarcely will there be any prayer left when the Lord comes. Scarcely will there be the prayer of faith. You remember likewise what multitudes there used to be who attended the prayer meetings and say, if they go on dwindling down and the numbers grow less and less, there will not be a prayer meeting held. That is, if they die out at the rate that they have done. Friends, we're very thankful for the many who come to our prayer meetings. And so, if we were to answer the question in the light of that, we should say, well, we are afraid there will be no faith left when the Lord comes. I know places where they cannot have a prayer meeting at all, because they have no male members. Is it not grieving? The Lord has taken his people to glory, and there does not seem to be, in some cases, a seed to follow. We ought to be very thankful where the Lord has given us praying men. We do not know the value of the weighty prayers of those whom we still have. We do not. There are some weighty and fervent prayers, and they are still effectual, so that we have not yet lost entirely all. The Lord has still a little salt, and there is still a remnant. Looking at it in another light, you would almost expect that faith would be strengthened and faith would be developed. You know, there have been men in days past, and some are still with us, who have sought to prove the truth of the Bible. And every mound of earth and every stone and every excavation have spoken unitedly in confirmation of the Word of God. But I do not think, friends, that this has reached its climax. I believe there will be further proof as years roll on that the Word of God is true. So that if you were to take all the evidence that has accumulated and all the confirmative proof, you would say, surely there will be much faith when the Lord comes. But somehow, faith does not come exactly like that. We may have abundant truth. We may have abundant proof that the Word of God is true. All research may establish its historical part, and we are glad, mind you, that it does. But we who have sometimes felt our faith at a low ebb have felt that it has not been increased in exactly that way. God gives faith. The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts. And then we feel to possess that which Paul meant when he said, faith which worketh by love. For it unites our hearts to fear his name. And everything that is dear to Christ is then dear to us. And the Lord strengthens our faith. Sometimes I go back and put myself with the people who commenced Sabbath schools, and I ask myself what I should have said when they were introduced. And I may have said, well, when these Sunday schools have been established 30 or 40 years, we shall have a harvest of men well taught. We shall have a number of men well instructed. We shall have more able ministers, more conversant with the Word of God. But I do not find that it is so. We are not the people that our forefathers were. Where have we a Bunyan? Where have we a Huntington? So that though all these things may have appeared to strengthen faith and increase faith, the result is not what we should have expected. So we have still to ask, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You notice the purport of this text. It implies a search. Shall he find? When you have found a thing, it implies you have sought for that thing. And it is to me as though the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, shall begin a search. For what? Shall he search for great men? Shall he search for intellectual men? Shall he search for a man that's amassed wealth? What shall be the thing that the Lord God shall search for when he comes? That is the question. Many people come over to England from America, and some come to seek pleasure, and some come to seek for wealth, and some come to inspect our old halls and abbeys and all the historic parts of our land. These are the things that are of chief interest to man, and especially to man, yea, entirely to man in his unrenewed state. But when the Son of Man cometh, he shall pass by all these things which are great in the eye of a man, and he shall search the earth for a man of faith, a woman like this, that precious jewel called faith. That is what he will search for when he comes, a faithful people. He does not say, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith amongst ministers? He does not say, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the churches? He does not say, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in Gower Street Chapel, or in Zor Chapel, or in Bradford Chapel? He does not say, shall he find faith in London or in England? But nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? As though he would ransack all the earth and go from throne to cottage, and from sea to sea, and from land to land, from house to house, room to room, and hut to hut, searching for faith. How valuable faith must be, friends, if the Son of Man will seek for faith and pass by every one of those who have it not. Oh, how essential it is that we have the right faith. How necessary that our faith is the gift of God. And although we seem as if we are altogether neglected and disregarded, and our prayers seem to have no response, what a mercy to hold on. You know, the righteous shall hold on his way. They shall. And if the Lord has been pleased to give us a grain of faith, it will never die. This fears the spirit of faith, a confidence that's strong, an unctuous light to all that's right, a bar to all that's wrong. So that if we live, it will continue It will persevere. It will take no denial. Although sometimes you are feared that when the Lord comes to you personally, there'll be no fear left. And really it does seem sometimes as though it were so. We visit other people sometimes, and we love to visit them. We get many lessons from them. And sometimes we look forward to their state, to their advanced state, to their dark state. For in some cases we have visited people who had not much light, and some who have little faith. It is not with them as it was in the days of their spiritual youth. And we wonder if we shall be like them. We wonder if we shall continue. And we wonder if we shall get as dark as they, as unbelieving as they. We would pray for them, administer a word of encouragement, and if we possibly could, would help them to seek. And although we sometimes find them walking in a solitary path, sometimes as though their hope was entirely decayed, we still have faith that when the Lord comes to take them home, he will find faith in their hearts. He will know where he put it, and he will find it where he did put it. So that when he comes to take his child to himself, he will find divine life. He will find, amidst all that has opposed the saint, there has nevertheless been a fighting and overcoming. And so I say, if we answer the question, although everything seems to point to a gloomy future state, and we are afraid that in the last days perilous times shall come, and they have all arrived already, for there is more ungodliness, there is more infidelity, more people denying the word of God. Where the gospel was formerly preached, now they have nothing else than social problems, political addresses, and men are teaching these things instead of teaching the word of God. Mr. Booth preached this sermon more than 100 years ago. What would he say now? Yet if things look gloomy, we still believe that when he comes, he will find a remnant. He will find a few faithful people. It was ever thus. When he came to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage, there were still men of faith. They had lived through much persecution. All that the taskmasters could do could not extinguish their faith. And when he came in the flesh to deliver his people, there were a few who had faith. Good old Simeon took him in his arms and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Depart in a well-grounded peace. Depart in a God-given peace. Depart in a peace that is the outcome of a God-given faith. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." There was a measure of faith, you see, and so there shall continue to be. When he comes, it may be a time that is neither light nor dark. We mourn because of the absence of life. We grope in this world to feel if haply we may find him. It is not the worst case, mind you, to be feeling after God, to be feeling for a thing that you cannot distinctly see, that you cannot clearly touch. So that to be feeling after God is not one of the worst cases. And yet that seems to be our experience often. Yet at evening time it shall be light. Now, if it be light at evening time, if it be light at the end, there shall be faith, although the churches pass through persecution. There shall be, I am persuaded, a time of trial, especially to the remnant that is left. It seems to me that it is more trying for us than it was 50 years ago to those who met and preached. It is more trying for you to keep this place of worship carrying on than it was 40 years ago. It is more trying for us to labour in word and in doctrine, because we do not see the result. And if things grow worse and worse, it will be more trying for those that succeed us. And though we may look at it in that light and expect things to grow worse and worse, our God will never forsake his remnant. Our Lord will never forsake his church. And inasmuch as he gave the poor woman faith to plead, he will give the faint heart strength to persevere. And although we may seem sometimes to give all up, he will revive us again. He will come. He will not tarry. The vision is for an appointed time. You may have looked for it, prayed for it, earnestly sought it. It may not have come. If it is for an appointed time, it shall come. And until it does come, your faith will not die out. He will keep it alive. He will increase it. He will add unto it. And so, whatever takes place to the church as a whole, we still believe that he shall find that most precious jewel of faith which he alone can give when he comes to search for it. May the Lord increase our faith, and he shall have all the praise. Amen. In this booklet, there are some verses after the sermon which touch upon the subject which we've been hearing. I'd like to read them to you. Thou blessed Son of God Most High, that livest and reignest above the sky, yet condescension great indeed, for sinners once camest down to bleed. Though thou art high, enthroned in light, and angels veil beneath thy sight, yet thou dost stoop thy grace to show, to visit sinful worms below. Thou hast convinced me of sin, and made me feel the plague within, hast made me long for that rich blood, by which alone there's peace with God. Look down upon my wounded soul. Thy balmy blood can make it whole, can hope and rest and comfort give. Oh, speak the word, say, look and live. Give me to know that thou art mine. Clothe me with righteousness divine. From all self-trust and bondage free. Dear Lord, do thou remember me. O, bid me see thy blessed face. Enlarge my heart with thy rich grace. Give me to taste thy pardoning love, and my election fully prove. O, shed abroad thy sovereign love, and all my doubts and fears remove. Give me the joy of saving faith, that I may triumph over death. I have no claim, O Lord, on thee. Thy grace is altogether free. 'Tis undeserved, and is bestowed on souls who cry for help to God. From day to day, from week to week, I cry to thee, thy mercy seek. And yet how far, O Lord, I feel from thee and thine own spirit seal. Hast thou not kindled that desire which thus doth oft to heaven aspire? And wilt thou then cast me aside? Shall seeking souls thus be denied? No, bless thy name, thy word tells me that thou wilt set thy chosen free, who day and night to God do cry, until he help them from on high. Hear my request, thou God of grace. Behold me in this wilderness, struggling with foes and fears so strong. Dear Saviour, do not tarry long.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £695, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, we hope to hold our anniversary services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15, when Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach, and the collection is for our Needy Cases Fund. Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School, and there will be a church meeting on Monday, the 11th of May. Let us close with hymn 182. If ever it could come to pass that sheep of Christ might fall away, my fickle, feeble soul, alas, would fall 1,000 times a day. Were not thy love as firm as free, thou soon wouldst take it, Lord, from me. 182.
Thank you. services of thy houses. Lord, do bless our which we have. Oh, increase it. Lord God, Lord. Oh Lord, we thank thee for another Sabbath. Lord, do grant thy blessing. Lord, do be with us now as we part. Lord, if thy will be, oh, together on the morrow. Lord, oh, we know that we cannot say that. Oh, we will be here too. Lord, as was mentioned this morning. But oh, if thy will, oh, to gather us here on the morning, Lord, do come up with thy servant, expected to preach. Lord, may it be indeed special services. Oh, may it be a day to remember. Do grant thy blessing upon it. Lord, do give him that to come up with. Oh, may he be thy messenger with thy name. Oh, may it be a good day. Oh, Lord, do grant thy presence. Oh, do come with me. Lord, do be with us now. Oh, to be with us, Lord, in the coming days of the week, Lord. Oh, we pray. Lord, we don't rule and overrule, Lord, the election of the coming prince. Oh, that thy will to be done. Lord, do guide us each. Lord, may there be those raised up, oh, to stand for what is good. So, Lord, do have mercy upon our poor. Lord, remember others. We would think of those, Lord, in the call after that earthquake, Lord, and many. Oh, do have mercy upon them. Lord, oh, we are still so favoured in this life. Yet, Lord, oh, we deserve thy judgments. Oh, we deserve, do remember us. Do then forgive our every sin. We would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of communion.